I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deal to keep Grizzlies in Memphis won't be done this summer, Mayer says. Now, as you recall, the mayor had said that he expected that lease negotiations would be wrapped up this summer. Well, that, according to Sam, has been pushed off. Here's the actual quotes from the story. You can read it over at the Daily Memphian. Young said discussions are still moving forward, but noted that the timing had changed. Told the Daily Memphian in February that he had hoped to complete the Grizzlies deal by the end of the summer. We are certainly still having conversations. We are working toward an agreement, Young said. I'm not sure of the timing at this point, but we're still very optimistic that things will move forward. This, by the way, you know how the Grizzlies never like to put a timeline on injury stuff? This is why timelines are dangerous, because if you put a timeline out there and then you don't meet the timeline, then there's a story that you didn't meet the timeline, right?
Correct.
That's why timelines are dangerous. So the question is that I ask myself as a Memphian, and that you out there might be asking yourself as a Memphian, is this worrisome? And the answer has to be yes. Of course it's worrisome.
Well, they were trying to get a deal done and didn't.
It's not that they didn't. They haven't.
Correct.
Right? This isn't voted down yet. But it was 2 years ago, two summers ago, that we had the massive civic food fight about the money, right?
Yep.
The money, should the $350 go to the city? Should it go to the Grizzlies to work on FedEx Forum? Should it go to the University of Memphis for the football stadium? Oh, my goodness, as you properly identified, there wasn't enough money to do both. You identified that very early, not enough money to do both. Then what happens? Fred Smith steps in, offers to fund the difference. Hurrah, celebration. We now have enough money for the football stadium and enough money for the Grizzlies. Yippee. That was 2 years ago. Then there was additional, are we sure we have enough money for the Grizzlies? And there was, Stan would write story after story about, they identified this latest, the city council voted on this stream of financing. They voted on this stream of financing. Oh, and then there was a story, all the money is secured, right?
Yep.
Now, mind you, I do want to point this out, that I know that to me, to you, to many of you out there, 500 plus million for an arena renovations coming from a pretty poor city may seem like a lot of money, because it is. But relative to what other cities are being asked and are offering up, Memphis in that deal would be getting off cheap, as I've said a million times. Oklahoma City building a brand new arena. Like
1.2?
Yeah. So like, it's pretty great that after 25 years, you could just like fix this thing up. It's kind of amazing. The original arena was, you could build it for $250 million. Now 500 plus fixes it up, you know, gets better sound system.
By the way, I don't know if it fixes it up.
Well, it
makes it slightly nicer.
Yeah, it makes it, it'll be nicer. So anyway, so they got the money. Why isn't it signed? And the mayor is a little vague on this. Why hasn't it been signed? And the Grizzlies don't say anything. They never say anything. But according to Sam, he had a phrase in here. Oh, here you go. The Grizzlies, throughout the past few years, have quietly made it known that the team would like to see a cleaner and safer downtown. And then Young, talking about this, about improvements to the city, They want to see a vibrant downtown, and Memphians want to see a vibrant downtown. So I think it achieves many goals for our city. Downtown is our living room. This is a shared space. It's our neighborhood, that everybody's neighborhood. And I think it's important that we invest in it, that we can ensure it's as attractive as it can be, as safe as it can be, and as vibrant as it can be. And those are the goals that we're working towards. Here's the problem. If what you're saying is, listen, I'll sign the lease if we get $500 million, well, that's something concrete.
Yep.
We'll sign the lease. We'll have a deal here if we get $750 million. That's something that's concrete. May not be reachable, but like there are things here. Or we'll sign the deal if we have a guarantee of whatever you need. But if the holdup is we want to see a vibrant downtown, with all due respect, I don't think in the next year Memphis is going to have a vibrant downtown. Like, if it is we want to see the crime numbers go down, they're already going down. Now, that may not translate to y'all out there. You may not believe it. You may not whatever. It may not be where it should be. In fact, it's not where it should be. Perceptions may not be orienting with the new lower crime numbers, whatever else. It just seems like an unbelievably, again, the Grizzlies aren't saying this, so it's difficult. Like, what do they need? They have not come out and said, what we need is X or Y or Z, and then we'll sign the lease. Because if they did say that, then you could meet X or Y or Z. The problem is that if you say, yeah, we kind of want Memphis to stop being Memphis, could that happen in the next year or the next 2 years? It feels unlikely that's going to happen.
Let's say even if you could, that's still not an objective measure.
How do you know? I know it when I see it.
I don't know. It seems to me what they want is, it clicked for me when I went to Denver last summer, and we went to Coors Field, and so around Coors Field, all of these real estate companies have redeveloped all these like warehouse district things, and they've made it very nice. Like shops.
Okay. Well, if they want, we want control. But mind you, again, the Grizzlies. I don't think the Grizzlies want to run Beale Street, right? They don't want to be responsible for. They would ultimately love it if Beale Street were beautiful without. Like, they got their hands full.
I think they don't want to run Beale Street, but I do think they want to tell Beale Street how they want it to look.
They definitely want to have impact. Yeah, they don't like Beale Street the way it is now. But if it were, okay, what you got to do is you got to hand us over control of Beale Street. Well, then that would be an objective thing.
Correct.
Right? You know, if that's what we need.
That would be a stipulation.
Listen, I don't blame the Grizzlies for wanting to drive a hard bargain. They're going to be here for the next, you know, whatever. This, you'd sign a lease for 20, 25, 30 years. You don't, like, I understand that you want to make sure your neighborhood is a neighborhood that you want to live in. Same thing if you were renting a room in an apartment, you would want to make sure that the apartment was being taken care of. So I don't blame the Grizzlies for caring about this stuff. Hell, I'm glad someone does care about this stuff. I think they should be applauded for actually caring about this stuff. It makes all the sense in the world that they would. I just think I think they don't say much because they don't want to be alarmist. But what the problem is by saying much,
the lack of information creates,
can be alarmist. Now, I want to say two other things about this. One is, before you get too worked up about it, if Robert Parra had wanted to leave Memphis, he could have left a long time ago. And specifically, several years ago, there was very clearly a shortfall in the lease obligations by the city of Memphis. And that entitled the Grizzlies to end the lease and get the hell out of here. And they did not do that. Instead, they quietly rewrote portions of the lease and remained. The guy is unbelievably rich. My understanding is, I know people object that he's not here or at games or whatever else. The people in the know with the Grizzlies are incredibly grateful that someone who has that kind of resources, who isn't actually interested in squeezing every last dollar, out of the franchise is the owner of the franchise. Again, if he wanted to get out of here, he could have ripped him out of here a long time ago. And so that, to me, bodes well. The challenge is that all of this story coming out today by Sam does take place against the backdrop of an NBA that literally this week or last week?
Last week.
They met to discuss expansion, and they said, yeah, let's put a break on expansion. Honestly, this goes very much back to what we were saying about the Big 12. You know, if we expand, we're going to have to be dividing this pie up. Let's say you'd add Seattle and Las Vegas. Seattle and Las Vegas are going to want the piece of this TV pie forever. So why do we want to do that, particularly at a time when the TV landscape in the NCAA with these regional networks going away?
NBA?
Sometimes words elude me. Sometimes my
acronyms.
My
You're great with words.
Brain. It's the acronym. So the TV network is uncertain at best. And so
yes.
And so maybe this isn't the moment to be biting off new franchises. And yet, you know who everyone acknowledges needs a franchise? Seattle. There has been a long sense that Seattle was screwed over by the NBA. A, that Seattle was screwed over by the NBA. And B, that Seattle is could be a tremendous market for the NBA. And so there has been this, Seattle needs a team. And some of that's from media members, but there is, I think, some sense that Seattle would be, let's be honest, it's an unbelievably big, vibrant, rich city. Needs a team. But what I actually gather is that there's no Seattle owner who has emerged who wants to pay $6 billion.
You know who screwed Seattle? Howard Schultz. Because you know what? He sold the Sonics to a group that was called like Oklahoma Sports.
He moved them out. He moved the whole team that was moving
he
them
gave
out.
Me yeah, a firm handshake. He was not going to move that team.
No, there's no question. He screwed them. And the problem is that with the Celtics going for $6 billion, the price of an expense, and it's unclear but one way to get Seattle a team to not have to expand and to not find an owner who's willing to pay a $6 billion expansion fee is if you just pick up the Grizzlies and you move them to Seattle. And now you might say, As much as Memphis may struggle, small market, everything else, there is a weaker franchise, by the way. Like, Memphis is not the slowest deer. There's a slower deer. And the slower deer that should be brought down by the Wolves is New Orleans.
Yep.
They don't even care about that damn franchise. Like, that's a small city. It's a poor city. And because they have the Saints, LSU, they don't even give a flip.
They don't even have plans to renovate Smoothie
King. That's a disaster down there. The problem is New Orleans is owned by the Benson family, the same family that owns the Saints, and they don't have any desire to take the team out of New Orleans. And so Memphis begins to emerge
a family fight coming up, though.
Well, let's hope. Memphis begins to emerge as the
because listen, that truly is
year.
A tale as old as time. Rich guy's second wife and kids from the other wife, they don't quite get along.
So I will tell you this. I have been, from the day, since before the Grizzlies moved here, the specter of the Grizzlies leaving has been raised as a bogeyman. They're just going to leave. They're just going to leave. We shouldn't bring them here because they're just going to leave. They're just going to leave. See? They're going to leave. They're going to leave. They're going to leave. It was infuriating because it was based in this self-hatred and self-loathing as a community. And they weren't going to leave. Like, there was a lease. They were committed. There were lots of clauses in the lease that they were not going to leave. I would tell them people that over and over and over and over again. And sure enough, they have been here 25 years. They have been important and responsible citizens in this community. And the lease, though, is coming up. Ends in 29. This isn't the end. The lease doesn't have to be done today. But am I now actually, does it enter my mind that now is the time to actually worry about them leaving? Yes. Yes.
I think there's another factor as well. We do know that David Stern was committed to the one city.
100%.
And, like, the reason why I think the arena in Sacramento, like, it's like David Stern Drive.
There's definitely a feeling that David Stern was committed to Memphis and to this to this model. And there's definitely a feeling that Adam Silver is not. And there's definitely a feeling that the rest of the owners, you know, the rest of the owners could very well say, listen, why would we continue to prop up a team in Memphis when we could have a really rich team that brings in revenue in Seattle? And so that's the other thing. Again, if they do sign a lease, and I think the most likely scenario is they will come to an agreement and the lease will get signed. Now, at that point, the lease will have outs in it. Here's the truth of the matter is, we have to do better as a city. And this goes back to the whole thing. It goes back to, in the end, the future of the University of Memphis and the future of the Grizzlies and the future of FedEx and the future of all the communities in Memphis depend on us doing better as a community. You can get a new lease signed with the Grizzlies, and I think that's the most likely scenario. Again, I'm a little worried now, but I think it's the most likely scenario. But even that, like, if you flounder as a community, if you don't create a vibrant downtown, ultimately they're not staying forever. You know what I mean? Like, and so that is the ultimate lesson here. But it'll be interesting to see now that the story has dropped today. Will the Grizzlies say anything? You know, there's this feeling that when a story like this,
probably not.
When a story like this, when a feeling like this drops, that it's like, oh no, is this going to alert the world that and the NBA that Memphis hasn't finished, hasn't. And I guess my answer to that is that if you don't think people in Seattle don't know that Memphis has a lease that's coming up in 29, you're out of your mind. You know, of course they do. And you don't think Adam Silver knows? Oh, Adam Silver. I mean, Adam Silver could have woken up today and read the Daily Memphian. Like, yeah.
No way, huh?
No.
How about that?
Forgot that.
Clear my schedule today.
I'm not going to be alarmist. I don't want to be alarmist. And I think, as I've said a million times, if Robert Parra wanted to get the hell out of here, he could have gotten out of here a long time ago. I don't think he built a team to crush the hearts of people in a city, bought a team to crush the hearts of people in the city. But is it a source of concern? The money's there. Sign the lease. That would sure make people feel better, wouldn't it, Jeffrey?
It would.
Yeah.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.